Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you. If you have your kids ready, they want to head to Children's Church, now's the time. Children's Church is happening. Kids can be dismissed to head out to that. All right. Just a reminder for parents and members, we have a meeting right after service today here. We'll probably give a five-minute break and go get your kids and come back. We don't want to leave the kids with the children's church workers through the meeting, okay? But we have a quick one-item business meeting right after the service, and we'd love for our members to stay for that and be a part. All right. Well, if you have a Bible, turn to the book of Psalms, if you would, please. If you don't have one, you can grab one underneath the chair there in front of you. And Psalm 51 is where we're going to start today. There's several places we'll be, but Psalm 51 is where we will begin. Today on our calendar is a quarterly prayer service that we have at our church. And so today's focus is going to be on prayer, and we will, as a congregation, be praying as well. So I'm excited for that, excited for those opportunities that we have when we come together as the body of Christ and just let the Spirit move in our hearts and pray for what He'd like us to pray for. As we do that, I always give this little shout out at the beginning of a prayer service. I'm not going to ask you to pray out loud, okay? Like by name, I'm not going to ask you to do that. So if you do not want to pray out loud, you don't have to pray out loud. You pray as the Spirit leads. But I am going to ask some people to pray out loud. And as the Spirit leads, whoever that is, that they'll pray. And we'll have different times of prayer throughout our service. If you look at the sermon notes that are in the worship folder, you can kind of follow along with that. That could be a model also later on for you and your family or just you individually to go through some prayer like we did today in our service. So we are going to start, though, in Psalm 51. I had originally, as I was preparing for today, I was originally preparing to preach through and teach through and pray through some of Psalm 119, which was very valid, but God just really kind of said, keep looking at the Psalms, keep looking at the Psalms, and so we were looking at the entirety of the Psalms, and I found three different passages that I think were really appropriate for us today to look at and to pray through, so we're going to start with Psalm 51. As David wrote this psalm, many of you, what's the response? Or where did this psalm come from? What would we say? This psalm came out of what?
Sin.
Sin, right? Deep, deep sin. And then not only sin, but a confrontation regarding that sin, right? That he was confronted by the prophet and said, hey, this is you. Nathan says, this is you. You are this man who has sinned. And David just has a broken heart, a broken spirit, and says, wow, you're right. It is me that has sinned. And when he found that out, when he understood that, this humble, broken heart produced this psalm for us. And it should be a model for you and I as we have sin in our own lives and as it's pointed out. First, we should always ask the Lord to point those things out. But as it's pointed out by others, we should be quick to listen and hear that and quick to repent and to desire to honor God and to be humble before the Lord. So as we go to the scriptures today, we're going to look at the first point, and I'm going to have the points, Mark's put those on the screen. Number one is Lord, I confess. That's our first section, Lord, I confess, and we're in Psalm 51. I'm going to go ahead and pray for us overall, and then we'll get into the passage of scripture, and then we'll pray regarding confession, all right? Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, we come before you today grateful for who you are and amazed by your power and your majesty, amazed by your overflowing mercy towards us. God, we definitely don't deserve that. And God, as we have come here today, we come here to worship the risen Christ, the one who came and offered his life as a sacrifice for our sins. And God, he rose from the dead, and God, by that power, through our faith in him, by his grace in Christ alone, we can not only be forgiven, but have everlasting life. God, you have forever changed those who have put their faith in you. So God, as we come today, we ask that you would continue to reveal in us what you'd have us know and see, what you'd have us do. So we ask that you would convict us by the power of your Spirit and the Word, convict us of sin, move us to a place of obedience, God, of repentance, God, of restoration. God, that we would hunger for you and thirst for you and be driven to you. So, God, we ask that you would be amongst us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn to Psalm 51. We're going to read 1 through 17 together. Again, this is David, his response to being confronted about his sin, and then responding from the heart in a psalm inspired by God. Verse 1 says, "Be gracious to me, God, according to your faithful love, according to your abundant compassion, blot out my rebellion." It's amazing that the psalmist, as he writes this, he knows how deeply he sinned, and he's like, the first cry of his heart is, "Be gracious to me. Be gracious to me. You have faithful love. You have abundant compassion. And in that, you can blot out my rebellion. Completely wash away my guilt and cleanse me from my sin. For I am conscious about my rebellion." Right? You see, I see my sin and it runs deep. He says, "My sin is always before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned. I have done this evil in your sight." So God, you are right when you pass sentence. You are blameless when you judge. "Indeed, I was guilty when I was born. I was sinful when my mother conceived me. Surely," verse 6, "you desire integrity in the inner self, and you teach me wisdom deep within." Again, we see he sees his sin runs super deep, and then he says, "God, I want you to invade my heart and to show me what I need, to teach me wisdom deep within." That this would not be a superficial repentance. That would not be just like we have done in the past, like your mom says, "Say you're sorry." Sorry. That's not what the Lord Jesus is looking for, right? That's not what the Father's like, no, that's not going to cut it. He wants it from deep within. That this is where the rebellion comes from. So this is also where the humility and repentance has to come from. So we ought to desire integrity in the inner self and ask God to teach me wisdom deep within. It's verse 7, "Purify me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow." Man, what an amazing revelation that he knows this, that he knows that God can look at his sin and the depth of his sin, and God can look at your sin and the depth of your sin, and my sin and the depth of my sin, and through God and through faith in Christ, we can have our sins washed white as snow. It's not just like, let's put a Band-Aid on that and get you squared away with a list of rules to follow. From the depth of your heart and the core of who you are, through your faith in Christ, he can forgive all your sin. Amen. Moving on. "Do not banish me from your presence or take..." I'm sorry, verse 10. Is that where we are? Nope, verse 8. There you go. Thank you. 8. You guys got to keep me on track. I told you this last week. "Let me hear," it says, "let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice." So there's a crushing of bones, of spirit, that God's like, I'm going to break you. I'm going to let you know how far away from me you are and how much you've sinned. But what the psalmist is praying for is that in that brokenness and that despair and that hurt, in that realization, through repentance and through faith and through my sins being forgiven, that crushed spirit will rejoice. And that I would hear joy and gladness in the Lord. Verse 9, "Turn your face away from my sins and blot out my guilt." And then verse 10, amazing cry, amazing prayer. "God, create a clean heart for me and renew a steadfast spirit within me." It's like, God, you need to change my heart. Don't banish me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. But instead, verse 12, what? Restore the joy of your salvation to me and sustain me by giving me a willing spirit. Man, that's so important, that willing spirit, that we'd pray that way, that God help, not just, God, make me obey, make me figure this out, make me be good. Like, I don't want your obedience. Like, my kids, I don't want you just to obey. I want your heart. I want your willingness. So we got to pray that way, right? God, sustain me by giving me a willing spirit, that I would be willing to obey. It says, "Then I'll teach the rebellious your ways, and sinners will return to you. Save me from the guilt of bloodshed, God, God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise." Think about the praise and worship we just sang. If we're trying to sing that for salvation or for earning something, we are wrong, right? We sing that from forgiveness. David understands that he has been saved from the guilt of bloodshed, and because he is, his tongue sings of his righteousness. He says, "Open my lips, Lord, that my mouth might declare your praise, how good you are." And he goes on to clarify in verse 16, "You don't want a sacrifice, or I would give it. You're not pleased with a burnt offering." In verse 17, "The sacrifice pleasing to God," what is pleasing to God is a broken spirit. You will not despise a broken and humbled heart, God. See, he knew, the psalmist knew here that God wanted him to have a broken and humble heart. And I think there's two ways that this can go. You know, and I think a lot of my analogies in parenting mode, right? Because I'm raising children up, and I think about how I may have been as a child as well, and how I responded to my parents, right? But there's this broken and humble heart that's needed, and a broken heart could be this: that, man, my parents really made me mad, so I'm brokenhearted. Like, I'm brokenhearted by their decision. I'm brokenhearted that they said no, or that they made me do this. I'm brokenhearted, right? Is that the kind of brokenheartedness that Jesus is talking about? No. Because the other side is a different broken heart. It's a broken heart because I broke his heart. You see the difference? Like, we have a broken heart because I've disappointed my parent, my mom, or my dad. We've done something and we've separated ourselves, and there's a relationship tension that has to do with me. And I'm brokenhearted about that. That's a broken heart that will produce humble fruit. When I know I've done something that separates me from my Father, and I've disappointed him, and in some way I can renew that and restore that and come towards him. But if my relationship with God is, God, quit breaking my heart. Quit hurting me. Quit saying no to me. Quit taking things away from me. Quit asking me to do things that I don't want to do. If that's the kind of broken heart we have, we will not be in a repentant, restored relationship with the Lord Jesus. And so David understood what he wanted was his own heart to be humbled and broken, so that we'd be pleasing, he could be pleasing to God. And that's what we ought to do as well. So as we head into a time of prayer, how we're going to do this. In our first two sections, we're going to do a time of corporate prayer. And so our first prayer point, Mark, if you want to put that up there, we're going to be praying, and I'm going to ask someone to just pray, acknowledging, is that what that is? I don't know if that's the right file you have there. It should say, pray acknowledging our rebellion and our need for God's mercy. Something got cut out of that. Acknowledging our rebellion and need for mercy. That's what it's going to say, okay? So that's what we're going to pray for in a minute. I'm going to pray for us initially, and then I'm just going to ask for someone to pray for that, okay? And I've got the right prompts on my board here too. So let's pray. Father, we come to you, and God, we ask that you would change our heart. You would give us a willing spirit. God, a spirit that is willing to respond to you in faith, God, to respond to you in obedience, God, to respond to you in brokenness and humility. God, grant us a willing spirit. And God, as we come together and pray, we ask that this would be a time pleasing to you, that you would be magnified, and that your body, this church, would be transformed and changed by the living God. I want someone to pray now, acknowledging our rebellion and our need for God's mercy. We're thankful for your graciousness towards us and your mercy towards us. You desire a restored relationship. You desire to put your abounding love upon us and forgive us of all of our sin. God, but you ask that we'd have a willing spirit and a humble heart. But help us to reflect on the condition of our heart. God, help us to develop a true willing spirit, a true broken heart that breaks because we've brought distance between us and you through our rebellion. And God, as we come back to you, as we come seeking your forgiveness, you are a God that restores. We ask that you would be restoring us, and God, that the story of this body, the story of these people, would be one that the world looks and sees, people who are forgiven by the love of God and have been restored in relationship to him. Keep us humble. Keep us willing, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we'll move on to point number two. Prayer is, Lord, help me rejoice and rest. Help me rejoice and rest. If you turn with me to Psalm 16. You know, one of the things that occurs to me as we talk about the forgiveness of the Lord, as we come to him in faith and let him forgive us and be our Savior and our Lord, there are times because we're human and we know how finite we are and how small we are and how much we've messed up, that when we are granted that forgiveness from Jesus, we almost hide ourselves in the corner thinking, I'm the sad, pitiful puppy that he had to forgive, right? And I can't even make eye contact. I'm not going to look. I'm just that sad, pitiful puppy that he had to forgive. But in reality, what he wants us to know is new life. What he wants us to know is joy of our salvation. That there should be a rejoicing in us because we have found rest from our rebellion and our sin. And that's what the psalmist here writes about as well. And what should increase in us is should be less pity and pitifulness. However, we should still be humble, right? And contrite, but our hearts should swell and soar because of his great salvation. And there should be a great rejoicing that overflows from us. Now, I want to segue real quick. I didn't have my notes, but we had the concert here on Wednesday night. And it's just amazing, you know, to me, it was a great, great turnout, a lot of awesome fruit from that. And I just was so ministered to my own personal heart. And it was a great opportunity for me. Maybe I haven't done that in a while, where I let music, I let the word in that way just speak to my heart and my soul, and we need that. I felt God just using that time and that opportunity to remind me of who I am in him and remind me of the joy of my salvation, and let that creep up and creep in and like overflow, because there's a lot in this world that can get us down, right? There's a lot of burdens, a lot of struggle, a lot of strife, a lot of hard things, a lot of needs that we have. But God is good over that. And God redeems and God restores and God can bring us rest. So you should be in Psalm 16. Let's look at verses 1 through 11 here. The psalmist prays and pleads, "Protect me, God, for I take refuge in you. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord, I have nothing good besides you." Would you agree that the psalmist believes the Lord is all-satisfying? Would you agree that the psalmist believes that there's nothing else that will satisfy like the Lord? Absolutely. We don't always live that way, do we? We live like there's probably some other things that can satisfy just as much, if not more. The psalmist realizes, no, there's only one way to really rejoice and find rest, and that's in the Lord, who is our shield and our refuge, and I have nothing good besides him. Verse 3, "As for the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones. All my delight is in them." There's a rejoicing that happens among God's people when they're together. Verse 4, "The sorrows of those who take another god for themselves will multiply. I will not pour out their drink offerings of blood, and I will not speak their names with my lips. Lord, you are my portion and my cup of blessing. You hold my future." It's beautiful. Again, he's saying there's nothing else that satisfies. Only the Lord satisfies. And he's so satisfying, by the way. He is the one who holds the future. He is all that we need. Not just now, but when? Tomorrow. And the next day and next year. God is the one who holds our future. The same one that satisfies today will satisfy tomorrow. Verse 6, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I will bless the Lord who counsels me, even at night when my thoughts trouble me. Anybody have sleepless nights? You have some thoughts that trouble you at night? Some things that, yeah, our minds wander and we think and we overthink. The psalmist is like, you know what? There are nights I have those times, but I just think of you. I go back to you. You're the Lord who blesses, and you're Lord, your counsel is what counsels me at night. He's saying, here, you know what? Because of the Lord, I can get rest. I can go to sleep. I can sleep easy. Verse 8, I always let the Lord guide me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Right? When the Lord is our guide, when he's taking our hand and leading us, we will not be shaken. We have a God who rescues us and protects us from our troubles, and namely the trouble of sin and death and separation. So, verse 9, what should that bring about in us? Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My body also, what? Rests securely. It rests securely. For, why? You will not abandon me to Sheol. You will not allow your faithful one to see decay. God, you reveal the path of life to me, and in your presence is abundant joy, and at your right hand are eternal pleasures. I tell you what, the psalmist understood that the Lord is who is satisfying. The Lord is who can take care of us. In the midst of our chaos and tragedy and heartaches and heartbreaks, he is the one, and there's no one besides him that can bring us rest and rejoicing. And when we are in him and we really find rest, that's when we can rejoice, right? You ever feel that? Like you go on vacation, you like take that first breath, like, oh, I'm away from the phones. I'm away from my normal routine. It's like I rejoice over that. There's a breather. God's ready to give that to us every single day. The burdens that we place on our lives, the burdens that this world places on our shoulders, the burden that the enemy places on our shoulders, the lies and the distractions, we take those upon our shoulders and we're burdened by them. We have to give them back. Say, God, that's not what you asked me to carry. He says his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And if we go come to him, that we would find what? Rest for our souls. Rest. There's rest for our souls. And when our soul is at rest, our soul can rejoice. So now we'll go into another time of prayer together corporately. Look at my notes. Make sure we have the right one. Let's see the next slide. There. I think that's the one. Let me make sure. There. Yes. So we're going to pray. First time is thanking God that he is our refuge, right? Let me pray for us and we'll get into that. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you that you have invited us to come to you and to find life and to find rest. And when we find rest and life in you, God, you overwhelm our hearts with praise, that we can rejoice, that our joy is full. God, we ask for that. We ask for that reminder of who you are, reminder that you are our strength, that you are all that satisfies. I pray in Christ's name. Will someone pray now, thanking God that he is our refuge. Lord, you're amazing. Lord, we have an amazing, strong, powerful, forgiving, loving God. God who perseveres for us. We thank you that you are our hope and our refuge. We thank you that, God, you are the one who holds the future, especially when we don't know what the future holds. So we trust you. We trust you. Help us to live our lives in faith, knowing that you go before us, you walk beside us, and you take up the rear. Lord, you bring us up protection from behind. Lord, that our salvation that we have in Christ produces rest and joy because we don't have to do it on our own. You are gracious. You are amazing. We thank you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Number three, if you turn to Psalm 86 with me. Psalm 86. Number three is, Lord, I need you. I've told you about that before. That's one of my most prayed prayers that I've ever prayed. Lord, I need you. And I think that's a good one for us to pray this morning as well. Lord, I need you. Psalm 86, verses 1 through 13. Beginning at verse 1 there, it says, Lord, listen and answer me, for I am poor and needy, right? I'm poor and needy. Protect my life, for I am faithful. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. Be gracious to me, Lord, for I call on you all day long. Bring joy to your servant's life, because I appeal to you, Lord. I think there's a couple things to think of here and look at. When I am needy, what that should equal is, Lord, I trust you, and Lord, I need you in whom I trust. Do you see that difference there? It's not just, God, I trust you. If you trust him, then you need him because you trust in him. There's a relationship that's built there and a trust that has been shown. It's not just to go about saying, I trust you. That is a prayer. I trust you. But I trust you means I need you in whom I trust. The psalmist understood that. And he's saying here, to remind my heart, God, remind my heart that circumstances, remind my heart and my circumstances that you are good, that you're the one who can take care of these issues. Verse 5, for you, Lord, are what? You're kind and you're ready to forgive. You're abounding in faithful love. I love those verbs there, right? You're kind, you're ready to forgive, you're abounding in faithful love. That does not look like a God who is ready just to smite you, right? A God who's just disgusted by your circumstances and what you did last night or what you did 2 weeks ago that got you into this mess in the first place. He may not like that, but he's a God who's kind and he's ready to forgive. He's abounding in faithful love, and it's to a certain people, right? To all who call on you. That's the faith aspect of that. That's the prayer. Lord, I need you. I need you. I don't need myself. I don't need to figure it out myself. I don't need to fix it on my own. I need you. I need you. Verse 6, Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cries for mercy. I call on you in the day of my distress, for you will answer me. Lord, there is no one like you among the gods, and there are no works like yours. I love that. You know, there's all kinds of people we can go to and false gods that we might pursue and that might try to fix our problem or resolve the situation. But what does the psalmist realize? There's no one else like him. There's no one else like God. There's no one else that does the works of the Lord. This morning in Sunday school, we saw God is a jealous God of awe-inspiring works. Awe-inspiring works. There's nowhere else to turn. There's nowhere else we can go that will produce what we really need, right? The rest for our souls and the satisfaction for our hearts. And so when we know there's nowhere else to go, we can pray, Lord, I need you. I need you. Verse 9, all the nations you have made will come and bow down before you, Lord, and will honor your name. Again, this is saying every knee is going to bow before the Lord Jesus. You go wherever you go and chase whatever you chase. One day every knee will bow before him because there's nowhere else. There's no one else to whom we have to give an account. Verse 10, for you are great and you perform wonders. You alone are God. You see, when we say, Lord, I need you, and Lord, I trust you, we should be saying, Lord, there's no one else to go to. You alone are God. And then verse 11, teach me your way, Lord, and I will live by your truth. Give me an undivided mind to fear your name. This is what this takes. An undivided mind, an undivided heart. See, a divided heart, it goes after other things and chases other things, doesn't it? But an undivided heart says, Lord, all of that is rubbish compared to knowing you. You are the God of wonders and works. You're the only one that can do this. There is no one like you, so I'm going to call out to you. And when I call out to you, I'm going to say, Lord, I need you. Verse 12, I will praise you with all my heart. That's an undivided heart. With all my heart. Not a little bit of it, not sometimes. All my heart. It's his. I'll praise you with all my heart, Lord my God, and will honor your name forever. For your faithful love is for me is great, and you rescue my life from the depths of Sheol. There's nowhere else. There's no one else. You know, I think about psalms like this, and even a few verses just like the end of this psalm. In the middle of any place, any time in history, and on location on planet Earth or in the universe, anywhere, this would bring true for any person. It doesn't matter the circumstances. It doesn't matter what your bank account looks like. It doesn't matter what country you live in or who's the president or dictator or ruthless enemy committing genocide. It doesn't matter where you are. When you look at this, I will praise you with all my heart and will honor your name forever, for your faithful love for me is great, and you rescue me from the depths of Sheol. Like, you have seen me as sinner and you have dealt with me, and I have come to you for rest, and there's nothing else I need because you are my everything. And so wherever I am, whenever I am, whatever's going on in my life, my prayer can always be, Lord, I need you. I need you. Nothing else, just you. What I'd like to do now is we're going to pray together, but in smaller groups. And so I'd like you just to huddle up in like 8 people groups. I know you're all freaking out now. No, it's okay. It's all right. Remember I said you don't have to pray out loud. I meant that. Someone in that group I know will be a leader that will say, hey, let's do this. But what I'd like you to be able to share, if you feel comfortable in that little group, is this. How are you needy? Like, how do you need the Lord? And just share, like, stress. One word, I'm just stressed today. Or financially, or wisdom, or my relationship. You can just share one thing. You don't have to elaborate, go into a big story. We don't need to even do that. Just share one thing. And then when everyone's kind of shared a need during that time, you can look at the screen, you can pray these prayers, but you can just say, God, we need you. We need you for all of these things. Here's the 3 prayers I put that are on the screen. We acknowledge how much we need you, Lord. Like we also pray that God would hear, right? He's a God who hears our cries, and he would work for his glory and for our good, right? Not God, don't do exactly what I want you to do the way I want you to do it right now. God, we want you to work for your glory and for our good. And then pray for our hearts to be undivided, that we would still at the end of the day say, God, we trust you. And I need you, okay? It's going to be fun. You ready? I'm going to pray for you to do this. Here we go. Let's pray. God, thank you for the opportunity you give us to bear each other's burdens. God, to pray for one another. God, to be genuine in our prayers. God, that we as a body would be healed. God, I pray for us now as we get together in our smaller groups to pray, to share, just to share how we're needy. That God, first, you would hear that. God, as we pray this prayer of faith, you would well up in us trust and faith that we not only do we trust you, but we can cry out to you and say we need you. And we know that we can trust the one that we need right now, and that's Jesus. We thank you for your provision. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So just for about 10 minutes, we're going to group up in groups of 8. You can huddle up right there, right there, right there, right there, and just pray. Someone share your need and pray. views I'm hearing. All right, as we head back to our seats now, as we close our worship service with worship, we typically would have prayer partners in front. We've been doing a lot of praying today, and so right now our responsive time of worship is going to be from the heart. We're going to respond, and as we sing, whatever we sing, that would be, Lord, I need you, right? We need you. And overflow with that rejoicing from knowing Christ and knowing his salvation. I'm going to close us in prayer right now, and then we'll sing. Just a reminder about a couple things. One, we actually, it wasn't in the bulletin. Tomorrow, it's the first Monday of the month. It is fasting, worship, and prayer. So we prayed today. We can pray more tomorrow. 7 p.m. here in the sanctuary at church. We encourage you to fast tomorrow and to pray, just praying to God. Maybe use this as an outline for yourself, and then come together as the body at 7 o'clock and just have a time of corporate prayer between 7 and 8. We'd love for you to do that. And then right when our service is over, once these guys are done, we'll have about a five-minute break and have our members come back in for a business meeting. And make sure you head to the lobby, do your voting on the handwriting out there. Our Mountain Scholars kids have been amazing at their cursive work, so vote one time per adult, if you would, please. And then we'll have our business meeting as follows. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your great love and your mercy. God, help us to continue to have this heart of prayer, God, our willing spirit that desires, God, to reach out to you and to pray. And we thank you for the time allotted for that. God, we thank you for the prayers that were just shared in our small groups, Lord, as we shared the burdens of our heart and the needs in our heart. And God, we know that you hear those prayers. You're God who hears. And so, God, now we trust you. We trust you. And Lord, we need you. We thank you. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand.